Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Great first hour. Very lively. The economy is roaring. Having so much fun today. I just drove into work today. I like the 4th of July weekend. Joy Taylor's joining me. And I'm just going to hang around Los Angeles. The weather's going to be cool. It's coming down. It's going to be 80 degrees today. A marine layer of fog came in by my house. It's my favorite weather in America.
The fog.
Oh, I love the fog. You sit there, you put a hoodie on in the morning. I got my dogs. It's like a country song. I got my coffee. I got my dogs. I got my fog. And I got my hoodie on, and I sit there, and I go to my phone and see what my adoring public said to me. It's really quite a life.
Oh, the fog is cool in the morning.
Yeah, I don't love it at noon.
Yeah, okay, yes. No, nice fog in the morning.
Oh, and then you go for a little jog in the morning.
Okay, that's a lot.
Is that a lot?
Are you a morning jogger?
Oh, morning jogger.
I was a jogger during the lockdown.
Love it.
Because that was my way of my excuse for
getting
outside.
I'm on the road by 7:45 in the morning.
Wow.
Good 40-minute jog.
You know why I don't like jogging in the morning?
Why?
Well, one, because I was a sprinter, so the long-distance stuff was never really my thing.
Yeah.
But I don't like when it's like the cold air is hitting your lungs, you know?
I get it. I understand that, but I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I need my fog and my coffee and my cool mornings.
That sounds like home.
That's retirement to me someday. Just let me live in the
fog.
Can you
retire somewhere cold?
Well, somewhere with fog.
Oh.
Some people go...
I'm retiring Key West. I have a whole plan. I'm going to buy a whole corner. I'm going to buy the house next to me on either side so I don't have to deal with neighbors.
All right.
Get a bunch of cats and dogs.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Giannis didn't play and the Bucks still hammered Atlanta. That's what I thought they should do. Listen... It looks like Phoenix is already in the finals, and I think they should be favored over anybody in the East. In Milwaukee, I think, is a better team. With or without Giannis, they're better than Atlanta. And so I think Milwaukee, Giannis, they won last night. And by the way, with Giannis out, they had better ball movement. They're fine without Giannis short term, not long term. But I would like Phoenix. Listen, with the Bucks, I like the team with more answers than questions. With the Bucks, every game I get questions. Is Chris Middleton going to show up or be awful? Is Budenholzer going to make any adjustments? Is Giannis going to hit his free throws? I never have any of those questions. Chris Paul's the best free throw shooter in the league. They make tons of adjustments. Booker shows up every game. So with Phoenix, you don't get any questions. You get the same team every night. When you watch the playoffs this year, what's become incredibly clear, and anybody who's reasonable, anybody who is not a fanboy would admit, the West has been better than the East for 25 years. Since Michael Jordan retired, the West has been way better than the East. And the East is getting worse. The gap is bigger. I mean, Boston and Toronto were good 2 years ago. They're both a mess. Philadelphia has been good for years. Now with Ben Simmons, they're a mess. Miami's out of the championship window. They know it. They're going after Kawhi Leonard. And now LeBron has left the East. Kawhi has left the East. It's bad. So this, I think it'd be a very quick series. Listen, here's all you need to know. If Phoenix played Milwaukee, who's got the better coach? I'm taking Monty Williams. Who has home court? Suns. Who has the healthier star? Suns. Whose star late in the game is better at the free throw line? Suns. Have the best free throw shooter in the league. Giannis is the second worst free throw shooting star in the league. What team is more consistent offensively? Suns. What team is like overall healthier? Suns. Which team plays, and this is a big thing, which team plays with urgency every game? Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix has had one, I wouldn't even call it a stinker. I thought the game at home against the Clippers, they were tight. I don't think they played poorly. I think they were tight. They got into a hole. They came rushing back with, I think, a 16-5 run. And they just always felt like they were chasing the Clippers. And let's be honest, the Clippers late in that game hit every three seemingly they threw up. So it was one of those things that the Suns did not play poorly in that game. But they got themselves into a hole, dug themselves out, and the Clippers just kept them at bay. They just, it's a football team that gets a lead, and they just kind of control the clock and keep you at bay. So our pleasure, Cameron Johnson is one of the new guys for the Phoenix Suns. And we said what makes the Suns, to me, comparable to the Seattle Seahawks the year they won the Super Bowl. Phoenix reminds me a lot of that. Is that the year before the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, they were good. And then they showed up the next year, and they looked so much better than the rest of the league. And you're like, oh, that's lightning in a bottle. No, it wasn't. All their star players, their Richard Shermans, their Russell Wilsons, all their star players, young players, popped at the same time. And that's Phoenix. We knew Devin Booker was good and DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and now they got Cam Johnson. But they've all popped. They've all really flourished at the same time. So I think Phoenix is going to be good for a long time. I don't think this is one of these Miami Heat in the bubble. They get to the finals. That was a lot of weirdness. I mean, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, kind of limited players. I look at Phoenix and I think they're the Seahawks. Like all their young players, they got them under contract. They got the right coach. They got the right quarterback. And they're good, and they're deep, and they play nine guys. And Cameron Johnson, second year with this team, is now joining us live. So, you know, Cam, it's funny. When you're a young guy, you come to Phoenix, and here comes Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's kind of a legend, right? And Chris Paul's tough on guys. He'll bark. He'll direct traffic. Is Chris Paul different playing with him than you thought he was? His reputation to what he really is. Is there a difference, or is he what you thought he'd be?
No, he's exactly what you think he'd be. I remember playing him last year in the bubble, and he was just talking to everybody, talking to the refs, talking to our coaches, talking to our players, talking to his players. I was like, man, this guy really talks a lot. He got a lot to say. So that's exactly what I expect him to be like, and he's just like that as a teammate, and it's very helpful.
You know, you played at a great college program, and when you come from, like, you know, the big programs, the Kansas, the Carolinas, the Dukes, there's an expectation. Phoenix, we've had really no expectations because for 11 years until this year, there wasn't much there. So last year, the bubble, we're all kind of like looking at Phoenix going, all right, they're kind of interesting. Did you have a feeling this year when Chris got signed, before you played a game, did you have a feeling, you were at practice every day thinking, this team has got a lot of talent?
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were special from the jump. And I really think the bubble was big for us last year just to build that momentum, get us rolling into this season. But I think we're on record saying that we have something special in our building. Obviously, there's a lot of us that haven't been deep in the playoffs. But, you know, from the practice perspective, it looked like we had a really good chance to be pretty good this year. So the guys just worked hard all season. I think we have a great staff. I think we have a great front office. And it's really starting to come together.
Cameron, you played a Clippers team, which I believe is the second best in the NBA. I think Phoenix is the best. I thought the Clippers were the second best. And this happens a lot of times where the two best teams play in the same conference. It's nothing against Milwaukee or Atlanta, but I think the Clippers were a real test for you guys. They're older. They're physical. They got Patrick Beverley. They got tough dudes. Take me back to the Clippers series and how difficult it was. I mean, they have a lot of guys that played in this league 9, 10, 11, 12 years. You guys don't. It's Crowder. It's Chris Paul. Go back to the Clippers series and just the difficulty of getting through it.
It's a veteran team. It's a scrappy team. And we knew we had a fight on our hands. You watched how they finished out the Jazz series, and they played really well. And they came back from 25-plus down, and they fought, and they showed a lot of that. So one thing we knew going into this series was they were going to fight no matter what the circumstance was. And we saw that in game five. We saw that in game three, I think it was. And they fought, and they were good. And they gave us a lot to handle. But one thing that we talk about all the time is poise and how we handle that and how we, you know, throw our punches back. And I think we did a good job of closing that one out.
You know, you guys are going to have an incredibly long break, which you don't get in the regular season. And this was a condensed season, so the games were tighter together. Are you a little concerned? I mean, games can't be practiced. It's not the same thing. What are the practices going to be like? Do you think Monty's going to, like, ratchet up the practices, the intensity?
We had this last series, right? So when we swept Denver, we were right back into that week of waiting you know, for our opponent and into the next series. And what I think we did a good job of was balancing that, ratcheting it up, and also, you know, taking that rest because we haven't really had much all season. Like you said, the games have basically been every other day for the past 6-7 months. So that time for us was good to decompress a little bit, but there's also times in practice where we turn it up, compete a little bit, and just try to keep sharpening the iron. So we'll probably do that same thing in this upcoming week and get ready for the finals here.
What did you make of the Patrick Beverley shove of Chris Paul? Your immediate reaction to that?
I was confused because it didn't look like Chris said anything. And talking to Chris, he didn't say anything. So it was just, you know, emotions run high at that point in the game. The series is over. I don't even think he said anything. And it's just, it's an emotional time, and that's just how he decided to react in that instance. I give our guys credit for not letting that spark anything bigger, and letting it die out with that. And, you know, that will be handled accordingly soon.
You know, Jay Crowder doesn't get a lot of love on this team because Chris Paul is on every commercial. Devin Booker's the go-to scorer. And so Jay Crowder's a guy that's been around forever, always on winning teams, and he's a forward, you're a forward. Has he ever put his arm around you and said, listen, young man, I'm going to tell you the ways of the NBA world, because he knows it. He's played with stars. He's been everywhere. Does he have an influence with you just as a guy that you know seen this path you're going to be on for the next decade?
He does, and he has a big impact among us in our locker room. He's a big voice. Before every game, he puts his arm around my shoulder and says, don't think, just react. So that's just really helpful stuff. And to have a guy that's been through so much that played in the finals last year, that's a big, you know, guiding light for guys like myself, Mikhail, even Torrey. Torrey's been in this situation last year and a couple times with Denver. So there's just a lot of guys with this experience that's good to lean on, good to hear in your ear.
Yeah. By the way, DeAndre Ayton is spectacular. It's really interesting about the NBA. His first year in the league, there were people saying it doesn't work. He's a bust. He's just talented. I mean, there were a lot of people I knew, scouts, that were like, it doesn't work. And then all of a sudden, he gets the right coach. He gets Chris Paul. And it's like in the last 40 games of his career, you're like, the hell's going on? This guy is dominant. Did your first impression of DeAndre Ayton, did you think he would be this dominant?
Yes. You look at his physical profile, and it just looks, screams of a guy that can be dominant. He's so agile, so good, you know, with the ball in his hands, great touch. And he's just, the big thing, Colin, that he did and he's done in this playoffs that has really taken him to another level is just the small things. Defensive positioning, offensive positioning, offensive rebounding. And one big thing we talk about is, you know, how he sets his screen. So all these little things that we talk about, he's just been executing them to a T, and it's, you know, showing up in the box score for him, but it's just having really a devastating effect on anybody we've played. I feel like he's been very dominant, and this guy's really the limit for him. This guy's the limit for him.
By the way, Phoenix crowds are crazy. Now, most of you, North Carolina, that's one of the loudest places in the world, right, for basketball. And then you go to the NBA, and some NBA teams draw, some don't. Some fans are – and then you go to Phoenix, and they're crazy town. It's just crazy town. It is – not to compare Carolina and Phoenix, but what has it been like to play for the first time in 2 years in front of fans there?
Well, any noise in the arena after playing in front of none is pretty crazy now. But my little brother, who's currently playing at North Carolina, he called me after the game, and he was like, he went to one of the games in Phoenix, and he was like, man, that was the craziest crowd I've heard since one of your Duke games. So he puts it right up there with the Duke games, which is quite the feat. And our fans have been absolutely incredible this whole postseason, this whole season. And really since I got there, they've been incredible, and they're a big part of our home court advantage. And, you know, we have a nice arena renovation, and they're packing it up. I'll tell you, they're doing a great job.
Cameron Johnson, Phoenix Suns, second year. What a pleasure. You have an amazing, amazing career in front of you. I appreciate you taking time. You're a busy dude, and thanks, and good luck, and we'll talk again. We'd love to have you on again.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
You bet. Cam Johnson, who is just one of, boy, they've drafted well. They just get smart dudes, hardworking dudes, long dudes. They have great length, by the way. I know everybody always makes fun of me for saying football players. I like trunky football players. Big butt, big thick. I like length in basketball. When I look at a player, first thing I look at is length.
James Jones done an amazing job there.
is he long? Basketball guys, length. I had a scout, an NFL scout, tell me, first thing I look at, wrists and ankles.
Yeah, you're
can you take a beating?
Your gait is very important,
yes.
Like how you're built, you know?
That's like why
we kind of overreact to.
Like, that is not an NFL wrist.
I have the tiniest wrist.
That's a big thing in the NFL.
No, it is. Well, it's really in all sports, but yes, I think for the NFL and for basketball, how you're built is very important because you're going to put on weight. As you get older, you put on weight and your body changes. So where are you going to carry that weight? How are you going to carry that weight? How that's going to affect your hips, which affects your knees.
So Aaron Rodgers and I are the same size, 6'1 and a half, 6'2. But if you look at Aaron's calves, like one time I was at a party with Peyton Manning. I've always told you this. Everything about Peyton, shoulders, head, butt. Brady, the same thing. Brady's just, he's very much got an NFL, he's trunky.
He's solid.
I like, you can make fun of my trunky stuff. It's true. And you can make fun of my length stuff. In the NBA,
That's why they measure all these guys at the combine.
Mark Warkentine told me that years ago. He said, you know, when Jordan and Pippen played together, he was an exec in the league. He said, you know, Pippen was good for two deflections a game and a steal. Well, then that meant Michael Jordan got two more possessions and he hit on one. He goes, how many of those Bull games came down to a basket?
And how much does that add up?
The Bulls were not only the best NBA team I've ever seen, they were the longest.
I think a good example of this is Lonzo Ball. Because remember, LeVar kept saying he doesn't have his ball body yet. And LeVar is a big guy.
Yeah.
And Lonzo looked so small and frail. And like, is he ever going to put on weight? Like, yeah, just give him a couple years. Boys continue to grow as they get older. You put on more weight as your body changes. You fill out.
We got a lot of stuff today. A lot of stuff. How great
really
was Cameron
day.
Johnson?
He was wonderful. Great interview.
I don't interview a lot of kids under 25. I feel like this is too big a stage. They get nervous. He was just like, boom, let's talk.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
The Rated R Superstar Edge is backing out for vengeance on Roman Reigns. Plus, Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn in a last man standing match. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern, tonight on Fox.
I'm smacking down some Coronas this weekend. That is what I'm smacking down, some Corona Lights with my dogs. I'm going to have some fun. 4th of July is one of the holidays. Holidays are, you know, they're okay. I always said Thanksgiving, you wear sweaters. It's too hot in the house because you're making food all day. And
what? Thanksgiving is the best holiday.
Oh, it's all the people. It's like cousins and third cousins and eighth cousins.
I argue Thanksgiving is better than Christmas.
And the ski slopes aren't open yet, so you're stuck with relatives.
You get all of the food, all of the family, all of the booze, and football without having to worry about gifts. It's the better holiday.
I don't know. So that's your favorite holiday?
Well, my favorite holiday is Halloween. But
I know. You really get all crazy into that.
It's fun. But I do love Thanksgiving, though. And then Christmas. I know it's like sacrilegious.
I like Christmas. I do. I ski on Christmas.
I like the spirit of Christmas.
So do I.
But I have 10 nieces and nephews.
A lot of gifts.
And a great niece.
Yeah. So. We Christmas is great. And then I ski with the kids on Christmas. It's my favorite day of the year. But not because of the presents. Because of the... Nobody on the ski slopes on Christmas.
Yeah, so he goes, that's true.
There's
yeah.
nobody on the ski slopes. Now, there'll be everybody because we say there's nobody on the ski slopes. By the way, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card end of the first year. No limit. Automatically get used to hearing yes. Discover.com/yes. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, the Clippers lost. Kawhi was out. So let's let the rumors begin to swirl.
Woo!
He has a $36 million player option for next season, but he can decline it.
Yes.
Become a free agent.
Yeah.
If he does choose to hit free agency, two teams are already in the mix to go after him. The Heat and the Mavericks reportedly plan to make a hard push to acquire Kawhi if he does not return to the Clippers.
By the way, the Mavericks also recently hired a Nike executive who knows Kawhi very well.
Well, Kawhi's with New Balance. But he does have a relationship.
Yes.
He has a relationship with a lot of players. The Mavs are considered to be the biggest threat to potentially land him. The Knicks also would reportedly pursue any superstar that would become available. I don't.
Why? See, remember, is this is a guy that does not have 10 years left to play with his physical health issues. In fact, according to Skip Bayless, Kawhi's got problems right now with somebody on the Clippers medical staff. You're not going to go. I mean,
I don't think New York is an option for
Kawhi. He didn't like playing out east. He wasn't at cold weather. That's not who he is.
Yeah, and he has roots here in L.A., so like in Southern California. So why would he move across the country to basically take on what he's already taken on with the Clippers?
Rebuilding.
Yeah. I actually don't think he's going to leave the Clippers. I don't see why he would. Like, he's in control right now. They've done overall a really good job of handling his injury. Like, we still don't know what's going on. So at least the privacy that he requested, he's getting from the Clippers. So I don't actually think that he will leave the Clippers. I would love to have you on the Heat, Kawhi. Please go to Miami. But I don't think that's what he would do either. The Mavs do make the most sense of those three teams Kawhi.
Yeah.
But again, like, it's just Kawhi is such a unique personality. He's so unpredictable. He doesn't follow the.
But we do know Kawhi does what Kawhi wants to do. He'll leave anybody.
But who knows what Kawhi wants to do?
But he will. Don't think he'll. If you tell him he'd be crazy to leave, he'll leave. Like, he's his own guy.
He's an assassin. He goes to organizations, wins, leaves. I'm with you there. Just who knows what he wants to do in this situation. Yeah. I do think that the family elements, the being home elements, you know, those sort of things probably making him more comfortable with the Clippers. Also, I don't know that it's a better situation necessarily, even though it would be better to play with Luka, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's overall a better situation right now. They have a new coach in Dallas. There's a lot of turnover that just happened there. There's at least some stability here. Ty Lue did it. Incredible job with the circumstances that he was dealing with this postseason. So I don't know that it's necessarily a better situation for him to go there as far as winning goes. Like, yeah. If Kawhi was healthy, I still think the Suns would have won, but I don't know. Like, he's really that good of a player. And Ty Lue was coaching. Like, he was doing his thing. So I don't know. I don't see him leaving. But the Mavs do make the most sense if he does out of those teams. So it's not hard to identify the best quarterbacks in the league, but what about the best overall divisions based on the quarterbacks? I try to find a list for Colin all the time. So CBS Sports ranked the 8 divisions based solely on the quarterbacks. And thanks to Patrick Mahomes, the AFC West took the top spot. So the AFC West has Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, and Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. I think the NFC West is the better overall quarterback division, though. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, and Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance.
It's close. I mean, the West, my entire life is where quarterbacks are. My entire life, the Pac-12 didn't matter if it was Elway or California is where Clemson and Alabama come to get their quarterbacks. So it's like, I don't know. The West, I always feel like. The weather allows us to just quarterbacks, they just end up out here. I mean, Justin Herbert was available to more teams than the Chargers.
Well, it's definitely easier to play quarterback in California.
It is.
And the weather is much more consistent.
And the coaching is better. The coaching out west for quarterback play is great. A lot of former NFL quarterbacks, I mean, Drew Brees has a place out here, and Aaron does, and Brady does. And
well, a lot of people train out here in the offseason,
too. A ton. So I just, I think the NFC and the AFC West are the best.
The NFC East is ranked as the worst division in this list.
Oh, it's not even close.
With Dak Prescott, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jalen Hurts, and Daniel Jones.
Bad.
The AFC East is the second worst with Josh Allen, Tua, Zach Wilson, and Cam Newton or Mac Jones.
Think when Denver upgrades, which they will, then how good is it going to be?
Oh, if Aaron Rodgers goes there? Separating. So sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson was set to compete in the 100-meter race at the Olympics in Tokyo this month. However, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency announced that she tested positive for marijuana and has been suspended for 1 month, which started on June 28th. They said she has accepted the suspension, and she went on the Today Show this morning to address the situation.
I apologize as much as I'm disappointed. I know that when I swim on the track, I don't represent myself. I represent a community that has shown me great support, great love. And to y'all, I failed y'all. And so I apologize for the fact that I didn't know how to control my emotions. Don't judge me because I am human. I'm you. I just happen to run a little faster.
By the way, does pot make you run faster?
No, it doesn't. It's still listed as an illegal substance for the U.S. Doping Agency.
I'm sorry, but I don't think pot.
If you've been on the internet at all in the past 24 hours, this has been a very heated debate amongst everyone. Patrick Mahomes tweeted about it.
Pot makes me run in the wrong direction. I don't even understand.
Well, look, she's taken full accountability for it. She blamed the positive tests for the marijuana use because she was using marijuana to cope with the unexpected death of her mother, who passed when she was in Oregon for the Olympic trial. So she can't compete in the 100-meter race. There's still a chance she can compete in the relay if she's named to the team. She obviously, we're showing the video of her winning the 100 meters at the trials, running a time of 10.86.
So the media
to hug her grandmother now. I mean, she exploded like immediate. I knew of her because I follow track, but immediate superstar comparisons to FloJo, and everyone's obviously the Olympics are approaching, and you know the sprints and the 100 meter race is one of the biggest events in the Olympics. So this is a very big deal. And to your point, it feels ridiculous that we're still even testing for marijuana. Everyone's like, rules are rules. She knew this was a rule, and she's taking accountability for it. And she has admitted she used it because she was dealing with the death of her mother while she was in Oregon at the trials. This is something that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that you're shoving pills for anxiety and all kinds of pain management and Toradol shots at athletes all day long in all sports. But marijuana use, which is legal in many states now and many places, is not allowed. It's a very heated debate on the internet right now.
Is.
She's done an amazing job handling it. It's obviously disappointing as far as her being able to run, but let's work on that ruling, guys.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I'm not really a permissive parent, but it's like if you told me of 20 bad things that could happen to my kids and you said, one of them occasionally smokes pot, I'd be like, all right. Maybe I grew up in the Northwest. I don't think about it. I know I'm in my 50s, so I should care. But my takeaway is it helps chronic pain. It helps with anxiety. If you got to smoke a little pot, who cares? I mean, I know I sound like a California guy, but I felt like that my whole life.
Well, it's also going to be legal all over the country very soon.
I remember literally arguing. I could say his name right now with the most powerful guy at ESPN. He said it's a gateway drug. And I said, why don't I do heroin? That's a gateway to what? Good times?
I mean, that was a very popular term during the Just Say No era.
Gateway.
And I think we all remember how that came about. So
I'll tell you what it's a gateway to. My hunger, from what I've heard. I argued, he was like, whoa, because I came on a radio show, very popular show, and I was at the other place, and I talked about, like, we got to get over pot. And literally a big honcho, very conservative, he's like, hey, it's a gateway drug. And my retort was, gateway to what?
You know what are gateway drugs? Opiates.
Yes. That opiates are.
Which are prescribed to people for pain management.
Thank you.
Now listen, you can feel however you want to feel about marijuana. This isn't a moral competition. But at the end of the day, there are things that are legal for a reason, and there are things that are not legal for a reason. And it is becoming legal almost everywhere. It will be legal everywhere. And it was used for a specific reason. She's taken full accountability for it. So it's not like, there's a lot of take accountability for your actions. She 100% did. She's not making excuses for it. It's disappointing for, you know, fans who are looking forward to watching her run. And sometimes it takes something, a star like this, not being able to participate, for a rule that should be changed to make that change happen.
Anytime people say it's a gateway drug, just use this line and credit Uncle Colin. It's a gateway to Doritos. That's the only thing it's a gateway to. There's no proof of that gateway nonsense. We don't know that.
There's so much research on marijuana use. I encourage people to read. It can solve most of your confusion.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Again, the tough guys are always scared of everything. Oh, my God. Marijuana, sports gambling, NIL, name, image, likeness. All the tough guys are always scared. Oh, this president's a socialist. Oh, everybody's just... I'm older than you. It all works out. It always does. Hell, we got through a pandemic. And the economy's doing fine. All right. this is very interesting. Should I? NFL rosters rank 1 to 32. Interesting. I'm gonna on the other side. It's good. Plus, I'm trying to find time to play Paul or Pass, Chris Paul game. We'll try to get to it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
NFL roster rankings for all 32 teams for 2021 came out today. I agree with the first four. Tampa 1, Chiefs 2, Browns 3, Buffalo 4. I totally agree. I agree with the bottom four. Eagles, Jets, Lions, Texans. There's one thing, though, that jumped out to me. Green Bay is 6. The grass is not always greener. When Brady left, there were a lot. It was a good year to be a star quarterback looking for teams. You had Tampa, had a B-plus coach in Arians, a great roster, great weapons. You had the Colts, great offensive line for an old quarterback, very good B-plus coach. All they need is about one more receiver. You had San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, good offensive line, not quarterback dependent. So you had a lot of teams. It was a good time to be a veteran quarterback. Same with Peyton Manning. You had Harbaugh with the Niners. Pete Carroll was interested in Peyton with the Seahawks. Their roster was getting good. He went to Denver, a good roster. This is where Aaron Rodgers has to be careful. Teams that would be very interested in Aaron Rodgers. Miami Dolphins, their roster is ranked 22nd. Raiders, roster's ranked 26th. Denver is the only one you think that's a pretty good roster. They're at 10. But it is not a good year this year or probably next to be a quarterback looking to land softly with a great team. Washington could be interesting. I cannot see Aaron wanting that deal. I think Aaron would retire. I just can't see Aaron in Washington with Dan Snyder and some of his nonsense. So, it's interesting. When you look at the best rosters, Green Bay's at 6. Pretty good place to be. Now, you don't have to love everything they do in Green Bay. But that roster, that offensive line, that running back, that receiver, those linebackers, Kenny Clark, those safeties, that's a good team. That's why I say with Jordan Love. If Aaron left, if Jordan Love couldn't win some with this roster, then he's a disaster. All right, I want to play a game, Joy.
Let's do it.
It is called, Chris Paul is one of my favorite players ever, at least in the last several years because he's been crapped on by everybody. So he's heading to his first NBA Finals. We're going to play a game called Chris Paul or pass. Are you ready to go?
Yep. Would you pick Chris Paul to take a game-winning shot or pass for another player?
I would pass for another player. As much as I like him, Chris Paul shoots 30% game-winning shots last 20 seconds of fourth or overtime in his career. He's not a shot maker. He often creates great shots for others.
Would you pick Chris Paul to guard the opponent's best player or pass for another player?
I would pass. Chris Paul's 6 feet tall, 175 pounds. He's not going to man up on a Luka. He's not going to man up on a Paul George or a Kawhi. That's not his strength. Now, he is, for about the first 7-8 years of his career, he was an excellent defensive player. But like LeBron, you get to that year 10-12, that's not where you spend your energy.
Would you pick Chris Paul to draw a foul or pass for another player?
That's actually a great question. I would take Chris Paul. He draws 6.5 fouls drawn per game in his playoff career. That is the highest among all active players. Chris Paul draws fouls and then hits free throws better than any single NBA player, including LeBron, including Kawhi, including Luka. He is the best draw foul, hit a free throw player in the league.
Okay, so then I think I know the answer to this one. Would you pick Chris Paul to take a free throw or pass to another player?
I would take Chris Paul shooting 94% from the free throw line in the fourth quarter in the playoffs, highest among all players.
Would you pick Chris Paul to take a contested shot or pass for another player?
Well, this is interesting because I like Chris. I mean, Chris can shoot, great mid-range game, but he's not great in contested shots. Why? He's a smaller player. He shoots 49% on contested shots, and that's 169th in the NBA among all players.
Would you pick Chris Paul to mentor a rookie or pass for another player?
This is the easiest one. Besides the free throw question, you would take Chris Paul. It's like DeAndre Ayton said. He was the one guy that got after me, that demanded more. It was like a brother. There is no question Chris Paul is the best player in the league. If you've got a talented rookie who needs guidance or a push, Chris Paul is the answer.
Would you pick Chris Paul to lead your franchise or pass for another player?
Well, there are others we could argue, but I would take Chris Paul, and here's a really interesting stat. So you know with Chris Paul what you get. You get leadership, great ball handler, almost never turns it over, lots of assists. But this is interesting. This is why I've always struggled with Kawhi, who I think is a great player. He doesn't make others necessarily better. He's just get a stop, get a basket. Chris is the only player with 100-plus assists to three different teammates this season. Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. He also rarely misses games in the last 2 years. So this is why Magic, Isaiah, Chris Paul are so much more valuable than a highly skilled Westbrook. Westbrook gets assists, but they're not really, a lot of it is a little bit of a fool's gold assist. Marbury used to do this. Chris Paul literally gets great shots for all his teammates. He's the best lob point guard in the league. He gets guys on the perimeter, young and old. So Chris Paul, this is why he takes young guys and they go from lousy tanking to the playoffs. Everybody gets better with Chris Paul.
Would you pick Chris Paul to become a coach after his playing career ends or pass for another player?
I think he will be the best coach because he's had to work so hard for his success. Some guys are just naturally gifted. Like Magic, 6'8 point guard. Not that Magic didn't work hard, but Chris Paul's doggedness and his ability to confront things. He's not passive aggressive. He's aggressive. The great coaches. That's what hurts Mike D'Antoni. He's passive aggressive. He doesn't want to confront players. Jason Kidd, say what you want, will get after a player.
Right.
And so Chris Paul, when he leaves teams, each of the teams he's left, their winning percentage has decreased. Each team he's entered, the winning percentage has increased. So that tells you the influence he has beyond just stats and himself.
All right, I think it's probably easy one, but would you pick to see Chris Paul win an NBA title or pass for another player?
Chris Paul. Chris Paul's the last guy in the league that I think really deserves one. I mean, Luke is going to get one.
I think you have to put this question in perspective with guys like Melo and like guys have been playing a long time that don't
But I don't think Melo ever put the time or commitment in than Chris Paul did. Chris Paul, and also Melo had a lot of things go his way. I mean, there were a lot of things in his career that went his way. It's like Chris Paul, every single step, he gets sent to we forget how bad Phoenix was before he got there. He had gone from tanking Oklahoma City to the losingest franchise in the league the previous 9 years, Phoenix. Like now we look at Phoenix and go, it's great. It was a mess.
They were not good for a long time.
A decade. They were terrible for a decade. Worst winning percentage in the NBA for 9 years before Chris got there. So for the average player, it would have gone into tanking Oklahoma City to terrible Phoenix. He made both the playoff team. By the way, Casper Sleep, 4th of July sale, bed, white, and blue. 30% off mattresses, sheets, bundles. Go to casper.com/promo. They have all the details. They have the end date. Very exciting times. Oh, we should mention again, the Dallas Cowboys are going to be on Hard Knocks.
Yes.
I'm just going to read you what the team here gave me. The Cowboys are the only team to appear 3 times on Hard Knocks. 6 of the previous 16 teams to participate made the playoffs. 6 of 16. The trend is bad. 5 of 6 have been a disaster. The only team since 2015 to not be egregiously bad was the Rams. They went 10-6. And part of me thinks with the Rams, it's L.A. You know, you got cameras everywhere. I don't think it was that disruptive to the Rams. No, nobody cares. If I mean, cameras are everywhere. I mean, you walk out of a restaurant in Los Angeles, you have TMZ crews everywhere.
I do think it will, from that perspective, it may not disrupt Dallas as much because I'm sure they are doing like a lot of content and stuff. Actually, I think that this might start trending in the other direction now that I think about it. Because normally it means really bad stuff, depending on what organization it is. But we're having cameras and you have content crew and social media crews around like all the time now.
It may just be Jerry Jones.
The whole time.
I mean, well, Jerry's going to take a lot of it. You don't think Jerry's going to be all over it?
Jerry's good about that, though. Jerry's good about when when something's going on, he'll take the attention away from it. He knows what he's doing there.
Almost a positive spin on it from Joy. I don't know how'd Skip feel about it. I'm sure he's just rolling his eyes at that. That's his Cowboys. All right, hour three on a Friday in L.A. Next.